Welcome to the Lord's Day on May 10th, 2020. Let us begin our worship with Psalm 135, verse 3. Praise the Lord, because He is good. Sing praises to Him, because He is kind. He chose Jacob for Himself, the people of Israel for His own. Amen. Today, we deal with Moses, the apostle. 2 points. Why Moses? Second, what about Moses? First, let me read from the Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 6 and verse 10. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is a holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And God said, come, I will send you to the Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. First point, why Moses? Moses and his mission were an overshadow of Jesus, who came and fulfilled the work of covenant once and for all. But then Jesus met his disciples at his mountain before his ascension and sent them as apostles and church to the ends of the earth, making the disciples of all nations and to the history with the same set of mission of Moses. The first question is, why did God choose Moses over other possibly better candidates? This question is important because Jesus chooses us as church and charges us with the same set of mission that God has charged with Moses at his mountain. The nature of God's calling of Moses matters to us. Exodus chapter 7 verse 7 tells, Moses was 80 years old and his brother Aaron 83. Age-wise, they were over their prime youth, full of vigor and energy. Moses was, lack of better words, a damaged good, full of self-doubt and runaway wanderer and murderer, no dream of his own, settled down as they labor for tending his in-laws' flock. Why did God choose Moses as his vessel to carry out the grand mission of liberating the multitude of slaves out from the most powerful empire in his days, bringing them across the wilderness, settle them in the so-called promised land, but in actuality, the land was inhabited by powerful tribes and the fortified city kingdoms. Because God wants to make a few points to Moses and also to us. Firstly, the task of God asks man to perform is so outlandishly enormous that no human being would have the ability to carry out the mission at all. Ultimately, by human effort alone, it would not affect the outcome anyway. Secondly, God makes abundantly clear that the task is not about us, nor our ability. Moses is special because he was specially disqualified even from the human standard for the task that none of us would dare to excuse ourselves because of our shortcomings and lack of ability. Underneath the excuse that we provide before God hides an arrogant assumption that with enough of my own qualification and ability added up, I'll carry the mission. God is not looking for perfect candidates. Instead, He is looking for a faithful candidate who is willing to obey Him. God's strong candidate is the one who keeps learning, to find the strength from God and His covenant promises. He is willing to undergo transformative handling of God's touch upon his heart and over the work God had entrusted upon him. Second, what are three primary signs that involves God's charging me of a mission in my life's experience? The first sign that God is about to charge me with his mission is the encounter of a mystery, which is my life and the story. From the perspective of Genesis, creation itself is the gift of God to the creations, and the light is the first gift of God that God created. Fire first appears after the fall of Adam in the flaming sword to protect the way to the garden. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 also says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Moses was so mystified by the burning bush because the tree was on fire but not consumed by the fire, which means that the flame has a burning source other than the bush. It is like a fluorescent light which gets its energy source from electricity. So here we have two features of God's dealing with man, fire of judgment and the light of creation in one tree. Tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life in one combined tree together. It is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ who is the personification of this burning tree. Let us look back our life and events that has happened and how it has evolved into our current stage and state. Even this day, this moment, as we listen to this message, how my life and livelihood, marriage, family, church, job, and career, my health, have been saved again and again from the brink of total failure, destruction, and even death, have come this far in God's grace. Please do not take all these for granted and treat them casually. You don't need to go far to find the mystery. Your life is only possible because of the grace of God, who dealt his fire of anger and judgment on Jesus. Then let us enjoy the ray of His healing light of a new creation in our life. Second sign that God is about to charge me with His mission is His command of consecration. God asked Moses to take off his shoes because it is a sacred ground. God calls the name of Moses twice. He did the same with Abraham when he was about to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham, Abraham. With clarity and urgency, God usually doubled up the pattern to remind us, warn us repeatedly to take off the sandals. In other words, God has visited upon us with his heavenly residence, Garden of Eden, in the midst of us. When Jacob realized this closeness of God's presence and God while sleeping in the remote field to save his life, running away from his brother's threat, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord, Jehovah, is in this place, and I was not aware of it. How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, Bethel, and the gate of heaven. Jacob took the stone under his head and set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it, consecrated the place and himself. You now develop the heart for godliness and hunger for the word of God. That's how it happened. That when you realize your home place, your workplace, your marriage, your church, your by himself alone is the place, God has opened up his heaven's gate and bring down his heavenly abode upon us, upon our hearts. Then we act accordingly. We suddenly have this desire and heart for the godliness and also hunger for the word of God. And third sign that God is about to charge me with his mission is that you begin to develop this sensitivity to the people who are in suffering. You share the bleeding heart of God, Jesus, for those who are enslaved in many forms and begin to hear the groanings of their pains. You feel overwhelmed and helpless. You are aware of the injustice and dismal state of people, but they are not of your concern before them. Like Moses, you may have tried to save them on your own strength, but failed miserably and felt helpless and powerless and set it aside that the task with a hurtful memory, forgetting the urgency and to run away as far as you can. But God brings you back to the forefront of the mission on his mount, on the ground of his sacred ground, and on the based upon your pursuit of holiness, all tangled with it. And whether it be your family members and friends and relatives, church members or co-workers, along with the evil force in the world and the sinful system at work, this time it is not personal. It is God personal. It is a sacred calling. It is God who charges you with the mandate, convinces you, bring the resource to make it happen. There is more to do in life than keeping busy with the job and house chores, maintaining the lifestyle with no particular purpose in sight. Then God set me aside as an apostle being sent for his saving work in this world. He relentlessly invites me to take on the task. He challenges us as he did Moses, who gave man this his mouth, who make him deaf or mute, who gives him sight or make him blind. Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Listen to his heartbeat and follow his lead to the mission of your life. When God still gives you ability to follow you, whatever is in your hand, that's God's. That's God's to be utilized. It's not your command. It's God's command. Your job is actually, ultimately, it's not to save them. It's to obey God's order to save them. That's how you're going to fulfill your life's mission from God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father God, thank you for giving us this charge of Moses and visit upon us and spread your tent amongst our heart, amongst our home place and workplace and church. Oh Father God, give us the attentive heart, listening ears to your charge, and tune with you and listen to your word and your charge and follow your order. And then our life from now on will be the life of an apostle, life of being sent as Jesus sent the church to the world. Let there be my testimony for the rest of my life and the whole of my life together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.